Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to Daily Motivation, where you get motivated and inspired.
Easy is not an option. It's hard living. Life is hard. See, it's hard when you are 49 years old, been working on a job for 17 years, and they come in and tell you you're finished and give you 1 week severance pay. And you got to start all over again. It's hard when you are married and raising children and your children are crawling and your husband dies unexpectedly. It's hard handling just the tragedies of life. It's hard when you're working on something and you put everything you have in it and it doesn't work out. You lose your money and other people's money. It's hard. It was rough when I lost my job and I could not find a job. It was humiliating and embarrassing borrowing money, and then I couldn't pay the money back when I told them I would. That's rough. How people look at you, how they respond to you. It's very hard. It's humiliating. Here's what I discovered that happens to you in life, that you will go through things, and while you're going through them, you can't understand why it's happening to you. You do what it is you're supposed to. You're supposed to build something. You're supposed to create something. I don't know how to do it. Learn. Do whatever is required. Just go out there. It's possible you can get what you want. It's necessary. If you want it, you got to go into action. You got to be willing to experiment. You got to be willing to fail and to succeed. You got to be willing to form and to develop new relationships. It's you. It's on you. You got to make that happen. Nobody's going to bring it to you on a silver platter and say, here's your dream manifested. No, it's hard. Yes, it's hard. It's difficult. Yes, right. And it's worth it.
You have no say-so in what happens to you, but you have a say-so in what you do about it. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. See, you get mad when haters come your way. You get mad because you get a setback. You get mad because you get thrown off course. You get mad because you get a detour. That's just dirt. You get mad because they talking about you. That's dirt. You get mad because you lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. See, you get tripped out because you got dirt on you. But you need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrients. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. See, you got to have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what God got for you.
As you go through the challenges of life, and you look at it and embrace whatever comes to you. Don't run from it. Step toward it. Don't try and duck it like most people do. See, most people want it easy. See, easy come, easy what? Easy go. See, but when you go at what you're going to deal with and you deal with the difficulties of it, when you handle those hard things close at hand, making those hard decisions right now that you don't want to make, learning those things that you don't like to do, but you know that in order for you to get where you want to go, this is one of the hoops that you have to flip through. And I'm saying to you, whatever you got to do, do it, because if you don't, life is going to whoop you until you surrender. You must have faith. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe in your abilities. You got to believe in your service, your company, your ideas. unquestionably, you got to have faith, and that faith gives you patience. That it's not going to happen as quickly as you want it to happen. A lot of things are going to happen that will catch you off guard. And so therefore, you've got to deal with and handle it as it comes. And not only that, but that faith and patience drives you into action. You've got to keep moving and keep plugging away. When you're working at your dream, somebody said, the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. Oh, it's sweet to you. It's good to you. Why? See, when it's hard and there's a struggle, see, what you become in the process is more important than the dream. That's far more important. The kind of person you become, the character that you build, the courage that you develop, the faith that you're manifesting. Oh, it's something that you get up in the morning, you look yourself in the mirror, you're a different kind of person. You walk with a different kind of spirit. And people know that you know what life is, that you have embraced life. You knew it was hard, but you did it hard.
When you make the decision to do what you want to do with your life, just know this, because the family and the friends in your life do not share your vision, in most cases, they will be the first person to try and talk you out of what you want to do with your life. But know this, only those that can see the invisible can do the impossible. Because they don't see what you see, doesn't mean that you're supposed to settle and not do the things that God has sent you in your mind and your spirit.
Everybody has dreams. And as much as you want to be able to listen a little bit, because somebody's going to give you a gem, but nobody knows but you. You can't get advice on what you should do with your life. Right? Nobody knows what you are. Like even sometimes you don't really even know what you are. You got to take your shot. And it's like, as much as you want people to agree and you want the people around you to be supporting your dreams and all, it's not going to be like that all the time. You got to do it alone, and people will help you. And when you get the ball rolling, people will jump on. But if you don't believe, nobody else is going to believe. Following your dreams is a lonely, solitary, scary, dangerous pursuit. You can't wait for somebody to think you can do it. It's a lonely, scary, dangerous pursuit.
I mean, how many changes took place in 1 year? No matter what we want to think, no matter what we want to believe, we all changed in 2020.
My life changed. My mind changed. My habits changed. My discipline changed. I am not who I was. I want to know, is there anybody in here who can definitively say with evidence, by looking at your behavior, not your clothes, that you are not who you were?
Some of you, you're even watching this right now, and you know, in just less than 10 months, your whole life looks completely different. And you weren't expecting that. You weren't planning on that. You had no idea those changes were coming. Suppose the question is, did you change for the worse or did you change for the better? Because everyone changes, but not everyone improves.
Successful people know how to change with the times. They don't get stuck in a rut doing the same thing the same way year after year. They're constantly evaluating where they are. They make adjustments so they can improve. We have to stay open for change. We can't get so set in our ways that we won't try anything new. This is why many people don't have any enthusiasm. There's no freshness in their life. Every time an opportunity comes for change, for promotion, because they're not used to it, they shrink back. They don't realize that's what's keeping them from going to the next level.
I had a change in my heart. I had a change in my mind. I had a change in my behavior. When he got the change of me, I thought completely differently than I do today. You
can see it in my walk. You can see it in my talk. You can see it in my behavior. People I used to run with, I don't run with anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go no more. I know I've been changed. I know I've been...
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow listeners. If you're passionate about fitness and wellness, then you're in for a treat with our latest ebook, The Ultimate Female Body Fitness Guide. Click the link in the episode description to grab your copy now at an exclusive 50% off discount. This comprehensive resource is designed specifically for women aiming to conquer their fitness goals. From strength training to cardio, flexibility, nutrition, and mindset, we've got you covered. Inside, you'll find expertly crafted workout routines, personalized meal plans, motivation tips, and strategies tailored to help you reach your fitness dreams. We also tackle common challenges women encounter on their fitness journeys, offering advice on balancing exercise with life's demands and breaking free from societal norms. Don't miss out on this incredible deal of 50% off. Get your ebook now before it's too late.
But how many of you know that when you get tired, when you get fatigued, when you get desperate, you start lowering your standards pretty quick? Like, you ever woken up in the night mad thirsty? Dude, you make your way to the refrigerator, you open up that refrigerator, the light hits you like it's heaven. Because if you get thirsty enough, you'll drink anything. Some of us have been on the faith journey for a while and we have gotten tired on our journey. Yet when you start to get tired, it's a bad moment to make big decisions because you will lower your standards. Some of us in this room, we have settled for second best because we traded an eternal blessing for short-term gratification.
Napoleon said, number one, a leader needs unwavering courage. I don't know if I totally agree with the unwavering part of this or not, because sometimes our courage does waver a little. It bend but not break. You know, courage mounts up, and then sometimes we have the doubts that creep in, and we reach a little deeper to find that courage that overcomes our doubts and our fears. So I would probably debate a little bit with Napoleon on this unwavering courage, because sometimes courage does waver. But as long as it stays, as long as in the end there it is to serve you, the courage to do what you didn't think you could do, the courage to step into territory that might be a little unfamiliar, the courage to talk to somebody you don't know, the courage to attempt conducting a meeting, the courage to give your first testimonial, the courage to solve problems you couldn't solve before, that kind of courage. Courage to stand up when it's sort of dark in your corner, the courage to do it when it isn't going your way seemingly. That kind of courage. Wavering a little at times, yes, because we all have doubts that attack us. We all have small fears that creep in. That is the nature of life. But that's what faith is all about. That's what courage is all about, to serve us. When our doubts will not serve us well, faith to overcome fear and courage to overcome our doubts. Second, Napoleon said, self-control. That, of course, is the very essence of life itself, is self-control. Because we all have this warfare going on. You know, it's going on in the world, the warfare between liberty and tyranny. In our own body, the warfare between health and illness, the struggle is on. Struggle between light and darkness, the struggle between good and evil. I call it opposites in conflict. And as soon as you're born into the world, as soon as you find yourself and discover yourself on this spinning planet headed somewhere, you know that this exists. To be a civilized society, we must drive the dark side of our nature into a small corner and let the positive side flourish.
In the coming days, don't be surprised if God brings new opportunities across your path. Some of you are going to be offered a position that you feel is over your head. Or maybe you single people, God's going to bring somebody new into your life. You'll be tempted at first to play it safe. Think about all the reasons why you can't do it. You've been hurt in the past. You can't get into that new relationship. You're not qualified for that new position. If you're going to experience God's best, you got to be willing to take a risk. You can't get stuck thinking that it can only happen one way.
This life that you're living is one long, big journey. And maybe you hit an obstacle on the way that slowed you down, or maybe put your goal on the back burner, but do not call yourself a quitter. You're already telling yourself that you're a quitter. You put that in your background, and I don't want to see that happen to you because you matter too much. You are not a quitter. You are not someone who gave up. You are simply someone who may have not been ready to face some of the demons that are in your background, who may have not been ready enough to say, you know what, I love myself enough this time to believe myself enough to keep showing up for myself.
What would you do with your life if you had it to live over? What is one value, one deep commitment from which you would never budge? Are you proud of how you have been living your life? Have you explored your natural talents, your gifts, by enthusiastically trying a variety of activities? Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of us have so much talent and abilities, we just put them back on the back burner, or just left them aside someplace. Never did anything with them, never brought them out here. What are you sitting on? What gifts are you sitting on? Have you resigned yourself to a life feeling that nothing can be done to change your future or your circumstances? Have you been afraid to try something different because you're afraid of how people will react to you or what they will think?
Early, we must learn to exercise self-control. Power is a wonderful thing, but it must be exercised properly. It must be exercised to benefit, not to destruction. So self-control is certainly necessary to be a strong leader, so that you can become the best example. The example of having your temper well managed, to having that dark side of your nature under control. The best example of choosing wise words and not being careless, that kind of control. Control of your appetite, control of your desires, so that they fit into the positive side of life and not the negative side. Then he said, a leader must have a keen sense of justice. How very true. Justice we become familiar with, you know, even when we're small, when certain things that happened or were done to us that something told us that wasn't right. Someone did us wrong. We have that sense of right and wrong, and it starts very early. Then we have to have that sense of utilizing what's right and what's wrong so that we develop this sense of justice, this sense of being fair, this sense of being on the positive side, on the right side. To minimize a person's mistakes, they need to have this sense of justice. We have to have justice when we're building an organization. You know, what's fair? What is a good balance? Certain rules and regulations, so that all of us have a chance to fit within this framework of fairness, justice, and what's right. Otherwise, enterprise cannot work. Otherwise, we have what we call, in a political sense, anarchy, where there is no justice. When might is the order of the day, power is the order of the day, not the law, not the rule, not what's right, but power. And we would all dismiss that. It's been a catastrophe in the last 6,000 years, the governments that resorted to power instead of democracy, that resorted to intimidation instead of freedom. And we all know the terrible toll that takes. But it takes a toll not only politically in a country or politically around the world, but it takes a toll even in enterprise. It takes a toll in school. It takes a toll in working on a team where someone is unfair, or where the leadership is not fair in the administration of justice. So this is true. A keen sense of justice and what's fair and what's right. Part of this we have to learn as we go. You know, you don't have it all the first year. You haven't got it all the second year, the third year. After all the years that I've been around, both as a human being and as a business person, we're still, even at these years, trying to decide what's best, what's fair, what's right, to give balance to our life and to build on a firm foundation for the future. Here's another one he said, definiteness of decision. Indecision is the thief of opportunity. If you don't decide, the opportunity could slip away. If you don't decide what you're going to do today, the day could get away and you're not very effective. To the best of your ability, have some idea, some good plan, sure enough, the day escapes. And in the morning you say, let's see, what should I do now? In the afternoon you say, hey, time's getting away from me. What should I do now? And now most of the day is lost.
When I know I need to change something, what I do is I change it. I've had people that listen to the podcast and they've reached out to me over the past few years. And one of the main messages that they took and put into action was actually putting things into action. These are just normal people, but they're normal people that knew they needed to make a change. And they decided they were going to make a change, and then they made it. And that is what you can do too. If you have something to change, if you want to change something, change it. Change it now.
Find something that you can look at your life that you say, hey, I know I've got a problem in this area. Being late, I need to take care of that. Procrastinating, I need to deal with that. Creating an imbalance in my life where I'm spending more time looking at television or having social fun and not spending enough time working on me. See, most people spend more time working on their jobs than they spend working on themselves. And whatever we achieve in life, whatever we create, whatever we're able to manifest comes out of the human mind.
So many times, guys, we get distracted by things that we either have no control of or matter nothing to our goals. I want to ask you guys tonight, just do a little favor. And I want you to write down things that you focused on today that held you back from being the person that you want to be. Did you worry about the behavior of someone else, something that you got no control over? Or did you stress about something that hasn't even happened yet? Did you give yourself negative vibes because you're worried about something that you have a fear over? And then I also want you to write down things that you focused on today that helped get you closer to the person that you want to be. Did you eat right? Did you exercise today? What are things that you focused on today that you know are going to make you a better version of yourself so that you can show up stronger tomorrow than you did today?
You've been given the dignity of choice. You don't have to repeat this year the same as last year. You can tear up last year's plan, develop a new plan. Now here's the choice on being a human being: to be part of all we were meant to be, or to be all. To strive for all, or half, or some. The choice is up to you to develop one skill or 10 skills. And this is all a matter of choice. And when someone says, no, you ought to learn 4, you've got to resist all that, because this is personal dignity. And you don't want to destroy someone's dignity by doing all the oughts and they feel reluctant to do it. Now we've got problems.
Most of the day escapes not being utilized. It doesn't work for you simply because you didn't make those decisions early, at the early part of the day. The decisions we make in the early part of our life sometimes last for a lifetime. The early decisions that you make about what you're going to do with your life, those decisions are vitally important. If you neglect them and don't make them, sure enough, the time passes and the opportunity sometimes is diminished. And sometimes you spend a lot of time now catching up simply because you didn't make those early decisions. So it's the decisions at the first of the day, it's the decisions at the early part of the month, it's the decisions at the early part of the year that greatly determines what kind of year you're going to have. The decisions you make in the early days of your marriage, sometimes those are the decisions that affect the marriage for a lifetime. The decisions you make at the first chance you see opportunity, those decisions, what you're going to do with it, how far you're going to take it, what it's going to be meaning to you in the years to come, those early decisions are vitally important. Then we need decisions to correct poor decisions, to overcome our mistakes. It's possible, of course, for all of us to make unwise decisions. And at the end of 1 year, at the end of 1 week, 1 month, or at the end of a few years, we say, that decision cost me too much. Cost me a lot of time, cost me a lot of money, cost me maybe a good relationship, cost me a chance to be productive. But as long as you're alive, there's still a chance to use new decision power to correct the mistakes of decisions that were bad in the past. All of us have the opportunity to do that, but I think Napoleon was right here too. You got to be definite in making decisions so that the opportunity doesn't pass you by. Take advantage. Here's the next one. Napoleon Hill said, a good leader has definite plans. How important that is. So here's what you should do. The lack of plans have lost a month or two, or you've lost a week or two. Or maybe you've lost a year and you were 10% effective instead of 100%. Now's the time to change all that and start making some plans. You got to have some plans for your family, right? You got to take your family along. Don't leave them out. One of the challenges all of us have in making our plans is how to balance everything to make sure that we don't regret at the end of the year, I spent too much time on that. I spent too much money. And then if you have, say, how can I not do that again? Construct some better plans so that you won't have any regrets at the end of a year to come, 5 years to come, 3, 4, 5 years to come. But now for you, your plans to be financially secure. You got to have a good plan for your resources so that you find yourself secure regardless of what happens. One more on plans, and that is the plan for your personal development. The plan to be better this year than last year. The plan to take the classes, attend the workshops, do everything you possibly can to show personal progress, not just financial progress, not just the progress of having one more car or one more home, but the progress of personality, the progress of communication skills, the progress in how to deal with people, progress in using your influence so that it multiplies its power by 5 by 10 versus what it used to be. You need those kind of plans. A plan for personal growth, personal development. Next, Napoleon Hill had a good saying. It was something my father had and passed it on to me as a good philosophy. And here's what he said. A good leader has the habit of doing more than what he gets paid for. What an incredible philosophy this is. The habit of doing more than you get paid for. It's what we call the service that you put out like seeds in the ground that doesn't bring the harvest immediately, but the harvest is yet to come. It's called like putting out the capital in capitalism. Doing more than you get paid for means that you're getting ready for the next move up. Because if you do more than you get paid for, you've made an investment. The average person might think if I do more than the company requires, then they're ripping me off. You know, I'm not getting paid for that extra time, that extra attention. But you must not view it that way. You must say, I'm getting there a little earlier, staying a little later as an investment in my own personal future because I want that kind of reputation. I want that kind of philosophy to work in my life. Do more than you get paid for, right? They've got the product, you've got the money, but you can't stop your investment there. Now you must develop the investment in time, effort, and energy in turning that new customer into a testimonial. And sometimes that's the most difficult work, the work after the sale. Because the sale might be fairly easy. Someone says, hey, I've been looking for this product. I need it. Here's my money. But now you've got to stay with them, make sure they don't just buy the product, but that they use the product. And that they don't just use the product, they keep using the product. That's the work after the sale. But if you learn to make that kind of an investment and do more than you get immediately paid for, that kind of investment is so powerful. So you do more than you get paid for up front. It's happened for me, making the investment. When I first started lecturing, I talked to high school classes, college classes, service clubs, and I gave it all away. I went and talked for free. Someone said, Mr. Owen, would you come and do this breakfast talk? I said, sure. Could you do this luncheon talk for this service club? I said, of course. And all of that in the beginning was for free, primarily because I'd made my fortune. You know, I didn't need the money, but I did it for free, but look what it's made for me by giving that kind of service in those early days. And finally, it led to business and led to an enterprise. And I was giving the seminar all those years ago here in Los Angeles, and Mark Hughes was in my audience. So what you don't get paid for, don't worry about that. Just render the service with the vision of the future that it'll come back multiplied if you have this kind of habit, this kind of philosophy. Next, Napoleon Hill talks about personality. You need a pleasing personality. There's many parts to your personality. One is your working personality. You know, the kind of behavior, the kind of attitude that you need, especially in the public. Some things you can kind of get by with being a little careless, maybe in private, but in public, where it counts so much in your paycheck, it counts so much in building your business for the future, your own personality. But here's what you also must remember. You develop your personality in private so that it serves you well in the public. Sometimes we get the mistaken idea, I can be careless with just these few and be more careful when I have 1,000. But see, that doesn't work that way. Careless with a few, sure enough, that will creep into your presentation for 1,000 people. You say, well, I'm only talking to 2 people, it doesn't matter much. That's when it really matters. Because if you'll practice well there, using your personality, using your influence, to get someone's attention, to get them to listen, to get them to participate, the kind of personality that someone says, I'd like to be around this person. They're unusual. They're not like the average person I meet on my everyday experience. That kind of personality. But you've got to practice it behind the scenes. You've got to practice it one-on-one. And if you're effective one-on-one, one-on-three, one-on-five, I promise you, that will get you ready to now perform with the kind of personality, the kind of charisma that wins people when you're in front of 500 people, 1,000 people, 5,000. So this is a good point, working on your personality. Here's the best gift you can give someone, and that's the gift of attention. Attention is so powerful. So, same thing you can learn to do. Utilize your personality, utilize your influence, give people the gift of attention. Next, Napoleon Hill said a leader needs sympathy and understanding. We have to develop that early in our lives. All of our lives, we have to look at those that are less fortunate than we are, those who need a helping hand, and especially now we learn to look at those who need an opportunity, those who need a change in their health, those who need a change in their life and in their lifestyle. It's this kind of sympathy and understanding that drove Mark Hughes to construct the company. It took that kind of understanding, that kind of sympathy, that kind of deep emotional feeling. Then Mark understood what it meant to be poor. He understood what it meant not to have. He understood what it meant to be short on finances, on resources. He understood what it meant to lack full formal education. He knew all of those lacks. And instead of crying about it, he said, what I will do is change it for myself. And then I'll help other people that have the same challenge. Lack of education, lack of the money, lack of the resources, lack of good health, faced with all kinds of difficulties they can't solve. I'll get mine solved, and then I'll be strong enough and have the skills for where I can help other people. That kind of leadership quality is so powerful. That kind of understanding. Here's the next one. A leader must have, Napoleon said, a mastery of the details. How very true. All can be lost with just a couple of missing details. The drama is in the details. Someone says, you know, I lost 30 pounds. Well, 30 pounds is 30 pounds, but that's not the drama. The drama is, where were you before? Now someone begins to give us some of the details. And then after they've lost the weight, now how they feel, now their self-confidence has been restored. Now they feel better about themselves. The drama is in the details. But this is also important in the details of your day, the details of your business, the details of good communication. Master the details. Now here's the next three. Willingness to assume full responsibility. Mark Hughes says, what happened to me might not have been my responsibility, but what I do about it is my full responsibility. I've had some things, some people did me wrong. In his first couple of business experiences, he was done wrong. Some people ran off with the money. He was left holding the bag. But he said, that's what happened. And I was not responsible for what happened, but I am responsible for saying to myself, now, what am I going to do about what's happened? If a hailstorm destroys the farmer's crop, he wasn't responsible for that. But his responsibility now begins when the hailstorm is over, when he asks the question of himself, what should I do now? Now that this catastrophe is over, now that the damage is done, now what should I do about it? And a philosophy I've taught all these years, it's not what happens to you that determines your future. It's what you do about what happens that determines your future. And this is a major part of it, accepting full responsibility. If you've got an organization, you're conducting meetings, and you're the leader, the responsibility ends with you. Someone else may mess up, make some mistakes, still your responsibility. Some things over which you have no control, understandable. But what you do about it now, how you fix it, the diplomacy you use, the strategy you use, that's the kind of responsibility now that depends on you. Also, you've got to be responsible for your future. Nobody's going to fix it. No one else is going to design it. No one else is going to come along and say, hey, I will make sure it all works well for you. You've got to take all the input. You've got to take all the testimonials, all the teaching, all the training, all the influence. Then you've got to have the responsibility of designing your life. You can design a life of prosperity, or you can design a life just to coast and get by. The responsibility belongs to you. Next is cooperation. Ideas, we take advantage of each other's input. We take advantage of each other's enthusiasm. We take advantage of each other's testimonial. And we take advantage of each other's willingness to grow. In those early days, Mark got the group together. Jerry Shatanovich, Doug Stuntz, the rest. And made some plans to cooperate. Said, no telling what kind of powerful meetings we can have if we work together. No telling how many people we can affect, even right away, if we work together. You do this part, you do this part, I'll do this part. We'll make it work together, and we'll get the ball rolling. There's an ancient phrase that says, if two or three agree, nothing is impossible. If they agree on the same project, if they agree on the same vision, if they agree on how to get there, I'm telling you, nothing is impossible. Nothing can stand in their way. Just two or three. If we cooperate, there's nothing we can't do. There isn't anyone we can't touch with this incredible story. Cooperation. That's why I'm here. Send out some ideas. Give you some notes to take. Something to think about and ponder. Something to talk about with the people that you associate with and are building your business. That kind of cooperation is going to make this a powerful year. But it'll get us to much more than just those numbers. It'll get us to a place of honor, respect, prestige, influence, feeling good about ourselves for the hard work that we're doing, cooperating with people. Now here's the last one. Napoleon Hill said, a major attribute of leadership is vision. Vision is in many parts. One, a vision for your own course to follow. A vision for you, for yourself. A vision for your financial future. A vision for your health. A vision for your wealth. A vision for you to latch onto and make something out of. A vision for your family, because vision must now lift others as well as ourselves. Guess what our family is counting on? That we'll be able to see things that at first they cannot see. That we'll be able to look further into the future than perhaps they will be able to look. The same is true with your organization, the people that are around you. They're counting on your vision. Perhaps you've been there a little longer than they have. Maybe you've been there a lot longer than they have. And they will look to you to help them see things that they can't see in the beginning. And if you will do that, develop that attribute of leadership, I'm telling you, you'll have such a dramatic effect on your organization, it will be unbelievable. A vision for yourself, a vision for your family, a vision for your organization, a vision for the people that you're close to.
Thanks for listening. Kindly support the movement of this podcast by supporting us or subscribing to our premium content for more exclusive stuff. When you do so, you also get a shout out in our next episode. Thank you.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.